In the Gospel of Luke, which is a portion of the Christian lectionary for this particular Advent Sunday, we hear this claim. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Ancient and mighty words, yes, but when I pause to consider what they mean today, it immediately evokes the popular current phrase, the fiscal cliff. And if we give that particular language or notion too much attention, we just may faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, let alone the more genuine global reality of climate change that is coming upon the world. And so, rather than create spiritual space for centering or imagining the good that is to come, it's easier for the world and for us in it to create clamor and babble and the idea that frenetic activity and accumulation of stuff might quell that fear. But we are all quite aware of the problems with Christmas time consumerism. I don't need to dwell on what could easily be our many coffee hour conversations of how this year there seems to be more ads even sooner than ever before in the season, and the fact that more stores were alluring us. I don't know, that was the word I thought of. I'm trying to think of what it is they're doing. Annoying, right? Annoying us. And requiring workers on Thanksgiving Day itself, and that this past weekend alone, the one that passed after Thanksgiving, we spent $52.4 billion. Because if I start talking about that, you'll just be off imagining for the rest of the time that I'm standing here behind the pulpit of what all that money could have done for our nation's coffers, or for the education system, or for the folks who despair from the results of the recent Hurricane Sandy. So that's not going to be my focus. Instead, but it does make you a little anxious, though, doesn't it? So I will invite us into the often discomfort of waiting. Whether we conjure up the line at the DMV, the waiting room at the doctor's office, the delayed plane flight, the bunny rabbit on the phone while they put you on hold while they're talking to the other person. How about especially the wait for justice? Just like having to wait for the Supreme Court for marriage equality. Waiting can bring up for me frustration or anxiety or even indignation. But that very same act of waiting, even in some of the very same places, can be reconsidered as a spiritual opportunity, a spot to find stillness, openness, a place to make more room in a crowded house. When we haven't been very practiced in this, but just the opposite, we've actually been taught that waiting is time wasting. We shouldn't expect that this is easy in coming. Those children's Advent calendars with a little bite of chocolate behind each numbered squares, you know those, right? They sell them at Trader Joe's. And my son, who works there, tells me that cases and cases and cases of them have been sold this weekend. People just come in and buy cartfuls of those Advent calendars. So it makes me wonder, right? Are we trying to bide our time for our youngest children? What are we doing with all those Advent calendars? Are we trying that? Are they to give to the youngest children? Or are we truly desiring a change in time for ourselves? It's the adults that buy them, right? Maybe we want to open a door every day to discover something new, something magical, something even spectacular, or something very small. Parker did bring one home to our house. At 25 years old, he's the youngest person that lives in our house, so I guess it's supposed to have some meaning. So yesterday, he got the bit of chocolate shaped like a train. It was about that big when we opened the first door. Other than that, I looked inside. It was blank. Well, I'm determined to create a spiritual concept for every Advent door. So I took with my magic marker pen and marked it on the inside of that page. So yesterday's first day became accepting life. Today's, when I get home, I'm assuming the chocolate will already be gone and the door will be open. It will say, waiting makes us ready. And then tomorrow, when we open that day, it will say, living in increments. Let me know if you want something for the inside of your Advent doors and I can help you out. I was hoping maybe you would. Let me tell you, just the chocolate is not going to be satisfying. In my opinion, it's not very good chocolate. There is something different that happens, though, when the waiting isn't only for the prize at the end, but for that time itself. Henry Nouwen calls this active waiting, this being present to the moment, because there's something worthwhile happening right here and right now. Sometimes I confuse myself. I know you're probably already saying, well, why does she need to go in there and write those spiritual concepts on every page? I confuse myself with the notion of preparation, thinking that it's only about what comes later, the prize itself, the result, the gift, that preparation is only about getting ready for what comes later. And it is indeed some of that, certainly when we can think about the pregnant mother, the incarnational aspect of this season, that as my colleague Ron Robinson says, Christmas is a story to help us see and feel the incarnation. It's not theological, it's disorderly, it's unsophisticated, it's touchable and tangible. For Christianity, it's simply the way things are. It's a pretty good way of experiencing in a cyclical way, in other words, it's going to happen again next year, the recurrence of embodied faith beginning with an unlikely and inconvenient birth. So what is it that we are waiting for in this season of Advent? What exactly is the focus of our preparation? Well, of course, we're Unitarian Universalists. You can decide for yourself, right? But I think the answer might be twofold. First of all, the gift is in the moment itself. It is the opening of the door for the bite of chocolate, the creation of a spiritual focus, or simply to have an open door. The spiritual life, writes Nouwen, is a life in which we wait, actively present to the moment, trusting that new things will happen to us, new things that are far beyond our own imagination, fantasy, or prediction. That indeed is a very radical stance, he says, toward life in a world preoccupied with control. This is what it might mean then to live in hope, to live with hope. Hope being an active thing rather than a passive thing, moving thing rather than static, where fear and foreboding might be linked with positive change or a sense of urgency in this moment now. There is a way when joining this ancient practice of Advent, that Advent waiting, then moves me out of chronos time, or simple timekeeping, into kairos time, the Greek notion of the opportune moment. It reminds me that rather than going through the motions of my life, I am part of something larger, of past, of present and future, of history and divinity. And secondly, there is that loving story of God being with us in human flesh as a mystical paradox of God as one. The possibility of God within us all. As my East Coast prolifically blogging colleague puts it, "We sang," she says, "at Governor Deval Patrick's inauguration, and standing right in front of him, and he sat there with tears streaming down his face. Once you see somebody in that condition, you can't forget," she says, "that they're just God's little baby." She goes on. She put this right on her Facebook status. She said, "I don't think most people would appreciate knowing that I secretly see them as God's little baby, but I do." Advent is nice that way. It reminds you, she said. Although it might seem overly sentimental, I know I'm not alone in being struck by the recent story of the New York City police officer helping the homeless man on his beat. The story that has been leading the newscast this past week, it's been in the papers, it's been online, it's been on the Twitter feeds, the photo. It tells the story of this third-year rookie cop who comes across a man on his beat with no shoes and eyeing the blisters on his feet and remarking about the cold evening air. He then walks to the nearest shoe store, buys one of the nicest pair of boots, and returns then to the man, kneeling down to place new socks and these wonderful all-weather warm boots on his feet. Now, the interesting thing about this story was it became known because a woman who was vacationing from Arizona had her camera phone with her, and she captured a photo of the officer readying to help place the boots on the older man's feet. The photo was taken by Jennifer Foster, who is herself, she's a communications director at a sheriff's office in Arizona. She said that the moment resonated for her for personal reasons. She said she remembered as a young girl seeing her father, who was a 32-year veteran of the Phoenix Police Force, buy food for a homeless man. And she said he squatted down just like the officer. And I know that's what I felt when I saw the picture, the photograph, and heard the story and brought tears to my own eyes. I really believe this is why it struck me. Not only the selfless act of human kindness, but the embodiment, the kneeling down, to put oneself at another's level, to be with God with us at our level. It's that way that we can take a moment to be with another person that resonates much larger than any particular moment ever originally intended. The only way that this whole thing was discovered was because the woman took the photograph, she sent a thank you note to the New York City police, and they ended up posting it on the Facebook wall, and everybody said, "Well, who was that guy?" And they finally discovered who it was based on where he was located. So in our waiting, in our patience for preparation, instead of boredom or waste, we actually might find just the opposite, a new ability to see what being active might allow us to see, the urgency of now. Instead of fainting from fear and foreboding, we might have the practice capacity for hope, for the substance of things hoped for faith itself. The San Francisco poet said, in the year just following my own incarnation, I am waiting for the age of anxiety to drop dead. And he likely knew when writing these words, right? Lawrence Ferlinghetti said, I am waiting for the age of anxiety to drop dead. He probably knew that it would only morph into new forms. But then he continued, I am perpetually awaiting a rebirth of wonder. And perhaps that is what we are preparing our lives. Let us take time amidst the busyness and the hustle and bustle and the frenetic pace for moments of waiting, of preparation, of incarnation, of seeing in the patience offered in the moment, that very urgency in the moment, the spaciousness of the moment in the open door. We may just find the spark of the divine, embodiment, incarnation, present with us. Amen. And blessed be you.